So they re-entered the city with hands clasped. It was a shock to the girl to find how far emotion had ebbed in others. The storm had ceased, and Mr. Emerson was easier about his son. Mr. Beebe had regained good humour, and Mr. Eager was already snubbing Miss Lavish. Charlotte alone, she was sure of. Charlotte, whose exterior concealed so much insight and love. The luxury of self-exposure kept her almost happy through the long evening. All her sensations should be carefully laid before her cousin, and together, in divine confidence, they would disentangle and interpret them all. At last, thought she, I shall understand myself. I shan't again be troubled by things that come out of nothing. Miss Allen asked her to play. She refused vehemently. Music seemed to her the employment of a child. She sat close to her cousin, who, with commendable patience, was listening to a long story about lost luggage. Lucy became rather hysterical with a delay. It was not till a late hour that Miss Bartlett could say in her usual tone of gentle reproach, "Well, dear, I at all events am ready for Bedfordshire. Come into my room, and I will give a good brush to your hair." With some solemnity, the door was shut, and a cane chair placed for the girl. Then Miss Bartlett said, "So, what is to be done?" She was unprepared for the question. It had not occurred to her that she would have to do anything. A detailed exhibition of her emotions was all that she had counted upon. "What is to be done? A point, dearest, which you alone can settle." The rain was streaming down the black windows. Lucy felt unaccountably sad, though she had long since dried her eyes. "It's been raining for nearly 4 hours," she said at last. Miss Bartlett ignored the remark. "How do you propose to silence him?"
"The driver?"
"My dear girl, no. Mr. George Emerson." Lucy began to pace up and down the room.
"I don't understand," she said at last.
She understood very well, but she no longer wished to be absolutely truthful. "How are you going to stop him talking about it?"
"I have a feeling that talk is a thing he will never do."
"I, too, intend to judge him charitably, but unfortunately I have met the type before. They seldom keep their exploits to themselves."
"Exploits?" cried Lucy, wincing under the horrible plural.
"My poor dear, did you suppose that this was his first? Do you remember that day at lunch when he argued with Miss Allen that liking one person is an extra reason for liking another?"
"Yes," said Lucy, whom at the time the argument had pleased.
"Well, I am no prude. There is no need to call him a wicked young man, but obviously he is thoroughly unrefined. What do you propose to do?"
An idea rushed across Lucy's brain. "I propose to speak to him," said she.
Miss Bartlett uttered a cry of genuine alarm.
"You see, Charlotte, as you said, it is my affair. Mine and his."
"And you are going to implore him, to beg him to keep silence?"
"Certainly not. There would be no difficulty. Whatever you ask him, he answers yes or no. Then it is over."
"But you are so young and inexperienced. You cannot realize what men can be, how they can take a brutal pleasure in insulting a woman whom her sex does not protect and rally round. This afternoon, for example, if I had not arrived, what would have happened?"
"I can't think," said Lucy gravely. Something in her voice made Miss Bartlett repeat her question, intoning it more vigorously.
"What would have happened if I hadn't arrived?"
"I can't think," said Lucy again. "I hadn't time to think. You came."
"Yes, but won't you tell me now what you would have done?"
"I should have..." She broke the sentence off. She went up to the dripping window.
Come away from the window, dear, said Miss Bartlett. You will be seen from the road.
Lucy obeyed. She was in her cousin's power. Miss Bartlett became plaintive.
Oh, for a real man. We are only two women, you and I. Mr. Beebe is hopeless. There is Mr. Eager, but you do not trust him. Oh, for your brother. He is young, but I know that his sister's insult would rouse in him a very lion.
As she spoke, she pulled off her rings, of which she wore several, and ranged them upon the pincushion.
It will be a push to catch the morning train, but we must try.
What train?
The train to Rome.
The girl received the announcement as easily as it had been given.
When does the train to Rome go?
At 8.
Signora Bertolini would be upset.
We must face that, said Miss Bartlett, not liking to say that she had given notice already.
She will make us pay for a whole week.
I expect she will. However, we shall be much more comfortable at the Vizes Hotel. Isn't afternoon tea given there for nothing?
Yes, but they pay extra for wine.